Well, good morning, St. Andrews. It's so lovely to see you. It's been a few weeks, but if you're a visitor here, I feel a little bit like a visitor too. This is my first full Sunday here, having joined St. Andrews and All Saints about 3 weeks ago, freshly ordained. So it is lovely to be here with you this morning. And today is the fourth Sunday in a series of teachings that we're doing into heroes and heroines of the Bible. I hope you remember that we've looked at Paul and Silas, we've been looking at Gideon, Esther, and this morning we're looking at Barnabas. So what can we learn about this man Barnabas in the scriptures? Well, first Luke, who is the author of Acts, tells us a number of things. Firstly, his actual name was Joseph, and he was a Levite from Cyprus. And then he was renamed by the apostles Barnabas. He sold a field and he gave his money to the apostles. As we heard, he introduced Paul to the apostles before accompanying Paul on the first of the great mission journeys around the Mediterranean. He is described as a prophet and teacher in Acts 13. And we also know that Paul and Barnabas fell out. They had an argument about who should be on their mission team. And they, in the end, separated and went their separate ways. But it would appear that they were reconciled later on because Paul speaks very warmly of Barnabas in his letters to the Galatians and the Corinthians. And as we heard this morning, Barnabas is described as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. But why did the apostles rename Joseph Barnabas? Names are deeply significant and they're important and we should pay note to them. Luke in Acts 4 tells us that Barnabas' name means son of encouragement, which identifies the very essence of Barnabas' nature and character. He had the gift of encouragement, and it's this that we're going to explore this morning, the power of encouragement. Now, my journey over the last few years and ultimately to serve my curacy here with you has been peppered with God incidences that have given us as a family encouragement that God's hand is right on us at this moment. As a family, we begin this new season on the solid ground of knowing that we're in line with God's will. And this was again confirmed on my first Sunday here when Dave preached on Gideon. You see, Gideon is not only one of my own favorite heroes, but God has spoken regularly to me through the story of Gideon. But the story of Gideon is also what I spoke out of at my last Sunday of my sending church. So to have Dave teaching in Gideon or from Gideon on my first Sunday at the beginning of my new church and my new season for me was a beautiful gift from God that was bringing my two seasons together. It made me feel valued by God. It made me assured that God was really on our case and with us. It brought hope and encouragement. And dare I say, it brought life. And that, right there, is the power of encouragement. And this is the heroism of Barnabas. He is the encourager that brought life and hope through his words and deeds. So what might we be able to learn from him? And how might we be able to grow in the gifts of encouragement in terms of one another, but also outside these walls? And therefore, to partner with God in the flourishing of our communities. I hope a strapline that you recognize and one I'm learning. So let's look at Acts, the first part of the reading. Barnabas was introducing Paul to the apostles. Consider the context. This is a tumultuous time for the early church. Imagine the uncertainty and the emotional roller coaster that the church was going through, as well as the persecution, real persecution. People were being imprisoned. People were being killed. A violent persecution. And this persecution was being led by a bloke called Saul. Yes, the same man who now wants to join the disciples. Might you just be slightly skeptical and uncertain if you were a disciple at those times? Might you be slightly reluctant to meet him? I think so, and rightly so. Luke tells us in verse 6, they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But then Barnabas steps in. He has clearly found out that about Paul's story, because we hear in verse 27, he told the disciples how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Now, whether he investigated the story and was convinced, or whether he just faithfully accepted Paul's story, we're not told. However, he does become Paul's advocate and encourages the disciples to meet Paul. We can't avoid to see both the courage and the faith involved here. It took courage for Barnabas, firstly, to trust Paul, and then secondly, to be his advocate. Do we need sometimes ourselves to take a risk and to trust someone and dare to become their advocate? To be courageous? I visited the bridge in my first week here, and I think Sue and Neil and the other workers and helpers at the bridge that are all involved in the work there, I think they're all Barnabases. They've courageously believed in those young people that everyone else has rejected. They've become their advocates. And what happens when we are courageous like that? Well, in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, it resulted in Paul being accepted by the disciples. And as a result, Paul gained legitimacy for his ministry. And there was unity and support for his subsequent missionary journeys around the Mediterranean. And what was the fruit of all that? Verse 31. The church throughout Judah, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers. The church grew. It flourished. Is that the dog at the bottom? Peter, you weren't falling asleep, Peter. No, okay. But the church grew. It flourished. What have we witnessed this morning? Two people who've come to be baptized and add their flourishing and their growth to the church and for their own lives to flourish. We should be encouraged deeply this morning. What if Barnabas hadn't encouraged the disciples to meet Paul? What would have happened if that unity had not been achieved? Would the gospel have been spread so easily? Would Paul have had the influence that he did have in the early church and even today? The answer is, of course, we don't know. But the church does recognize the vital role that Barnabas had as he played by bridging the gap between Paul and the church in Jerusalem. The power of encouragement brought peace, unity, and growth. Just think, reflecting back to the work of the bridge, the power of encouragement through their work seems to bring life, hope, and opportunity to all those young people that otherwise they wouldn't have. It would seem that they embody the strapline of partnering God for the flourishing of our community. And what about the second part of our reading, when Barnabas visits Antioch to check out what's going on there? It's interesting because Barnabas does four things. He goes to Antioch, he saw what God was doing, he gave thanks, and then he encouraged. He went, he saw, he gave thanks, and then he encouraged. He went and saw what God was doing. He then celebrated and was glad about what God was doing. And then he blew on the flames with his encouragement, and there was great fruit. Again, what was that great fruit there? Verse 24. What a great number of people were brought to the Lord. There was growth and flourishing. I sort of wonder, actually, if you could see that that's what Barnabas did when he went to see Paul. He went to see Paul. He saw what God was doing. He gave thanks. And then he encouraged the disciples to meet him. Encouragement is like oxygen. It has the power to bring life. Just think of a moment about when you were last encouraged. Just think when you were last encouraged and how you felt. Hebrews tells us that we should encourage one another every day. We need encouragement every day. And I hope that when you think about when you were last encouraged, you were felt it was an uplifting, it was positive, it was hopeful, it brought joy, it brought strengthening to you. Encouragement gives help, hope, it builds up, it strengthens us when life is hard. Encouragement reminds us that we're valued when we feel undervalued. It reminds us that we're loved when we feel unloved. The power of encouragement brings life. It builds the kingdom. In fact, without encouragement, life might feel pretty pointless and burdensome. We might become overwhelmed. Without encouragement from the friends that around me, I wouldn't be standing here today. So how might we use the power of encouragement to partner with God in the flourishing of our communities? Do we need to go to people or go to certain situations or go to places and see what God is doing? Because he's always doing something. However bad and difficult a situation is, God is always doing something. Do we need to give thanks for what God is doing and then fan into flames the hope, the life and the joy and the belief with words and acts of encouragement? What about next time you go shopping, giving a word of encouragement to the shop assistant? What about passing the policeman and speaking a word of encouragement to them? Or to your neighbour, or to a work colleague, or even, dare I say it, a complete stranger? What about sending a card or giving a small gift to a teacher or a friend or a family member or even a local business to encourage and to bless them? I guarantee by doing that, you're bringing the kingdom right there and bringing life to that person. You're acting like oxygen to the person. Now, I am clearly new to St. Andrew's and All Saints, and you will have a feel for what the level of encouragement is amongst us as a community. I've personally been hugely encouraged already by many of you, and particularly Dave and Alice as they've welcomed us, but all of you. And particularly, I want to say a huge thank you to all of you for the amazing hampers that you put together. We are thoroughly enjoying all the goodies that you've given us, that I can drink coffee from about 8 different countries around the world. I can eat chocolate while I travel around the world. We've got homemade cider, locally brewed beer. We had some potatoes from someone's garden. We've got lemon curd. We've got all sorts of tins of beans and all sorts. Just thank you so, so much. We're so very, very grateful. But I reckon that we can always up our encouragement levels amongst each other. There is a lot of change I hear about at St. Andrew's and All Saints. Is that right? You've got some new staff. We're all starting a new journey. There's lots of change. Some people will find change easy. Some people will find change hard. This is the very time that we need to be encouraging one another. It's the time that will strengthen us when we encourage, and it helps us to press on, stay courageous, stay hopeful, stay secure, and stay faithful. The fruit of all of that is what Barnabas was doing. He brought peace. He strengthened and brought growth to individuals and communities. There's a lovely proverb, Proverbs 16:24, that says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. That's the effect of words of encouragement. And to give you an illustration, I went shopping with my wife. We're going to need some chest of drawers for our storage, for our for moving in. So we went shopping. Of course, we didn't come back with any chest of drawers at all, but we did come back with a very nice desk for me. But this was a very old desk. It had obviously not been loved for quite some time, and it was tatty and old, and it had white marks. It was a sort of an old sort of antique-y mahogany type. But it was really looking very unloved. So we were given some guidance to get some beeswax polish and just polish into the wood, and the whole desk has come alive. It really stinks a little bit too much of beeswax polish at the moment. But this rather sad desk now has come alive. It's got a rich brown, dark colour to it and looks absolutely fantastic. That is a bit like that honeycomb, that beeswax polish that was polished and rubbed into the wood. Our words are like that to one another. We come alive and we brighten up and we get that richness of who we are back into us. So just as I finish, let us be Barnabases. Let us wield the power of encouragement, not just to one another, but outside these walls and into the world around us. Where are our front lines? Is it in the classroom? Is it outside the school gate? Is it in the work office? Is it just walking down the street? Is it in our neighbours? Is it in our families? Wherever we have our front lines, wherever we have contact, why don't we encourage one another? And so I just want us to finish by encouraging you now to turn to one another and speak a word of encouragement. Now, if you don't know the person you're sitting next to, do you know what? You can just turn around and say, do you know what? God loves you today, and he really, really is singing over you today, because that is the truth. We're all brothers and sisters of Christ, and he rejoices over us every day. Now, if that's uncomfortable for you, or you're a visitor and you're not necessarily used to speaking to the person next to you in church, that's totally fine. If you just want a moment and be on your own and just dwell and receive from the Lord, please be free to do that. But why don't we turn now to one another and just encourage one another with a word? And let's have a hubbub of wielding that power of encouragement.